the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
And it's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch, and we make truth your bitch.
I like that.
You like that? I came up with that one this afternoon.
We make truth your bitch, yeah.
Truth is your bitch because truth is our bitch. And then, of course, some guy on Twitter said to me, well, what do you mean, Phil? Truth is your bitch. If you mean a dog, then the dog sometimes, that means that you are following the truth wherever it leads you, like a dog will lead you anywhere. And I said, no, a good guide dog will obviously lead us to where we want to go, but it does not just take us anywhere. We have to allow it to take us to the places. And he goes, no, not really, because I'm a police officer. And I'm like, are you kidding me, man? I'm going to get involved in this?
Well, the guy was a cop. He knows what he's talking about.
He's a cop. He knows what he's talking about. He's not going to get me to believe that because he's a cop and he's got a seeing or whatever the hell they call him, you know.
Yeah, they're like forensic dogs. They can smell a dead person and everything. They're a dead man.
Yeah, it's a dead man smell.
Yeah, they know dead man smell.
They know dead man smell. Are you talking about the
carcass dog.
Carcass dog?
Yeah, they call it that.
No, they don't call it carcass dog.
No, or cadaver dog.
Yeah.
Cadaver dog. Both of you guys, I want you to...
What's it called?
I want both of you guys to go online and look up the proper term.
Yeah, I bet you don't even know what it is, man.
I'll tell you one thing right now. I know it's not cadaver, and I know it ain't carcass. Cadaver dog. Anyway, welcome to the show. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. And, of course, on this program, we talk about... Radio for Patriots by Patriots. That's what it am at. Bobby and Steve Dooley are going to join us, and it was a tragic story indeed, and I don't care, you know, if you don't watch TV, if you do watch TV, or whatever it is that you do, this was a sad thing. This is such a product of the modern age that we live in, the modern television age that we live in. Bobby and Steve Dooley with the Western Estates Homeowners Association. Ms. Dooley is their president, as well as their president of the parent-teacher organization. And her husband, Steve, is their vice president and secretary. And good evening, folks.
Good evening, Phil.
Hey, Phil.
So, Bobby, tell us the story. This is Russell Armstrong. He was one of the husbands.
Yes. Russell Armstrong is one of the husbands on this program, Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, which has really been the show that we enjoy, that everyone that I know... really just locked into this show because it really says what it's all about for myself and for a lot of women as well as men.
And when you say it's what it's all about for you and a lot of women, what do you mean?
Well, what I mean is the show reflects the kind of lifestyle that in many ways I have and my husband Steve and I and people here at Western Estates were at similar income level.
Are you saying you guys are rich?
I'm not going to, put it that way.
I'm rich here. I don't sound like I'm an ass or something.
Yeah, it's something, Phil, you don't really go out and say, oh, hi, I'm rich. If you have to say you're rich, you're not. Okay? Phil, are you there?
Yes, I'm right here. If you have to say you're rich, you're not.
Yeah, it's like...
There's no famous, right? You've got to ask how much.
Yeah, that's right. If you have to ask how much, you can't afford it. And so...
No, I've heard that saying, yes.
All right. And so, Real Housewives of Beverly Hills has been our, I guess you could say, our spokes show. It speaks for us. It tells the world the problems that we're having. Because, these days, if you have any kind of a comfortable lifestyle, people don't want to know about it. All they want to know about, and rightfully so, are the problems and the suffering of other people, but they certainly don't want to know about, those of us who, we've got a different kind of problem, Phil. We have the problem of having a lot and what that does to us.
And well, I'd like to get into that. That's a very interesting question, I think. It's one that has interested me for a long time, having a lot and what that does to us. And I don't necessarily disagree with you. I've often said, for instance, on a completely different topic, and people never understand this, and they, so I'm going to say it knowing that people are never going to understand this, but I've often said that slavery slavery traumatized and hurt or damaged, or use any word you want, the white race as much as it did the black race.
What does that mean?
Yeah, what do you mean by that?
I would not. I don't want to dance with that.
All right, I don't want to talk about this. It's just my feeling. But basically what I'm saying is there are classes and groups of people that we might not think are oppressed or, and I wouldn't say that we're oppressed so much as in terms of whites and slavery, so much as damaged. Let's get back to...
That's very controversial. I know a lot of black people, and I don't think they'd agree with that.
I think you're going out on a limb on everything that you say there.
Okay, I don't want to talk about that. That's not the subject of... You know.
No, it isn't. But I think we have to be careful what we use to compare.
All right, let's just go back to your situation then. You're talking about Russell Armstrong. He was the wife of Taylor, and he was, and she's a cast member. What is that? No, he's the wife. I know he's the husband.
He's the husband, Phil. You bad boy.
Yeah, no, he's the husband of, excuse me, I don't mean to make fun.
You just got to do this, right? The man's dead.
That is true, but I think, Steve, in this case...
Yeah.
Mr. Dooley, I don't mean to make light of a man's death. Forgive me. I apologize. My producer and I just, we sparred there for a moment. Russell Armstrong...
Yeah, this guy is dead. You know that, right?
Yes, I do know that. That's why you're on the show. Russell Armstrong complained before his apparent suicide that...
What?
Excuse me, sir. Would you shut up?
Oh.
Would you please?
Folks, you know.
It's all right, Phil. Would you shut up?
Oh,
just shut up. But do my heart a world of good. It would, I think it would add 5 to 10 years to my life, Steve, if you just shut up. God.
All right, Bobby, that's, I don't want to.
I apologize, Phil. It's just, I've asked him when we go on your show.
I understand that, but I'd rather, this is very uncomfortable for my audience to hear you do that, and it's uncomfortable for me. Let's stick to what it is we're talking about here, okay?
I understand, Phil, but I do want to hear what you're saying, and Steve has been butting in. Yeah, I know you want to say some stuff, Steve. Just shut your mouth.
Well, I'll tell you what.
Yeah, tell me what?
All right, can we go on?
I'm sorry, go ahead, Phil.
Okay. God, I've been...
Mr. Henry's lost his
place. All right, hold on for a minute. I don't want to get into a... I don't want anybody fighting. I want to do this. Do you mind?
Absolutely, Phil. I was trying to protect your right to express yourself.
No, I know that, but your husband, the way you're talking to your husband, I don't think is need to... You don't have to say that. You know...
Well, he does it all the time.
Talk about the thing.
Would you shut your mouth? Oh, my God. You know, Steve, that my brother is a Terminal Island. You know that.
Talking about Randy?
I am talking about Randy.
All right, look, don't have a personal dispute on my show.
I'm sorry.
Sorry, mister.
Don't have a personal dispute on my show.
Threatening me with her brother.
But don't threaten anybody. This man's your husband.
I apologize.
God. I don't want to do that. I want to just do the show here, okay?
I apologize.
Joanne Hotchkiss said Armstrong, and this all started when I said that Armstrong was the wife of the woman. Okay, so Joanne Hotchkiss said Armstrong and his wife Taylor, a cast member on Bravo's The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, had been happy before they agreed to join the reality show. Once it aired, I watched it slowly destroy their marriage, she told HLN's Issues with Jane Velez Mitchell. Before the new season even started, before he took his life, he said, Mom, they're just going to crucify me this season. This is the mother of Russell Armstrong. He said, I don't know what to do. I'll never survive it. I thought he meant business-wise or something, Hotchkiss said. Perhaps there was a double meaning there. I don't know. Now, this man was found dead at a home in the hills above the Los Angeles suburb of Bel Air on Monday. His wife had filed for divorce in July, telling People magazine that she was verbally and physically abused during their nearly six-year marriage. Hotchkiss said her son was upset by the criticism of other cast members and complained all the network cares about are ratings. Welcome to the world, my brother, although you're not in it anymore. Look what it did to this poor guy.
Well, Phil, that's why. What we are asking for and, in fact, what we are requiring at Western Estates is acknowledgement of what has happened here. What has happened here is a man who represented a lifestyle for a lot of us, and Taylor too. I'm not taking sides here. He represented the battle for a kind of a life that you could raise your children in, a kind of a life that you could yourself be happy in. And that's why we feel we've lost someone very, very special.
He was very special, man.
He really was, and that's why we ordered the flags at half staff at Western Estates. And they will remain at half staff until, did you say Monday, Steve?
Monday, Tuesday.
Now, there have been some protests, and the reason why we're talking about this, there is the Willoughby family, there is Ziegler, there are the Carlings. You know these people?
I know them, yes. They're residents here.
Okay. All of them have said that they don't want to lower their flags to half-staff. All of them have said they don't want to lower their flags to half-staff, that they find this, in their minds, to be a little frivolous.
I understand that, yes.
All right. What do you say to people when you want to lower flags to half-staff? That is usually reserved for the military. That is usually reserved for people who have a significance to this country from the standpoint, perhaps, of military or public service. Why lower the flags to half-staff for this man, Mr. Armstrong?
What Russell Armstrong represents and what his wife Taylor represents, and indeed everyone on that cast and that show, what they are is a public service expression for those of us who have been, for the longest time, viewed as just rich people. And so we are throwaway people. We can be insulted. We can be called names. We can be called pig.
My wife's called a pig, too,
Mr. I've been called that. We can be told that we're thieves, that we're liars, that we have to pay taxes, and so forth. That is not the case. There are a great many of us still who are liberal, who believe in giving money to the poor, who believe in paying more in taxes, who have great relations with the ethnic minorities. And so this show, Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, spoke for us in a way that did defend us. And in defending us, defended people that obviously have a great deal of assets and use those as an engine for our society. So I would say that, yes, with the death of Russell Armstrong, we do need to lower whatever flag you have out there, ladies and gentlemen. It could be on your restaurant. It could be in front of your home. It could be in front of your school. Lower the flag to half staff and say that you really feel the loss of Russell Armstrong because he lived in Beverly Hills. He lived in Beverly Hills. And when I say that, that doesn't mean he's a movie star. It doesn't mean he's a cocaine user. It doesn't mean any of these things. It means look at how far, look at what he achieved. Look at who he was and what that means to the country.
What does that mean to the country in your estimation?
I'll do it to you. What it means to the country is that we have a moneyed class of people that hire, that create business, that create interest in the American way of life. But I don't want that to be necessarily the cell line. I just simply want to say, Russell Armstrong, he lived in Beverly Hills. I don't know how else to say it.
That's really it.
He lived in Beverly Hills.
That's really it, yeah.
All right, our number is 877-876-PHIL as we talk to Bobby and Steve Dooley about Mr. Russell Armstrong. He is the husband of Taylor Armstrong. He committed suicide. His wife, a cast member of Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, had filed for divorce. And the significance of this show to a great many people in similar, shall we say, in a similar income range is being expressed by Bobby Dooley. They have lowered and have forced the homeowners at the Western States Homeowners Association to lower their flags to half staff if they have flagpoles in front of the house. And the community itself has lowered flags to half staff. Should a community force you to lower a flag to half staff when it has nothing to do with military? Should a community force you to lower a flag to half staff? Anyway, I don't know. We're going to get back and talk to Bobby Dooley and Steve Dooley about the death of Russell Armstrong and the lowering of flags to half staff at the Western States Homeowners Association because, as she puts it, he lived in Beverly Hills. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. Call the Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
And welcome back here, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. On the air with me is Bobby and Steve Dooley from the Western States Homeowners Association talking to us about the tragic death of this man, Russell Armstrong. He committed suicide, Bobby, because he was distraught, according to people are saying, because of the comments he made to his mother, and I don't know, was there a suicide note?
I don't know, Phil, if there was a suicide note or not. I do know that Mrs. Hotchkiss was very, very vocal about her son being driven to suicide. I think that that is not what we need right now. I think what we need, more than anything, is recognition that this show, Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, was so significant to our culture. It was so pivotal, I think, in how, and hold on for a minute. What are you doing?
All right, Ms. Dooley.
Hold on for just, what are you doing?
I'm on Creek Ranch outside.
Are you out of your mind? I can hear that.
I'm going to say what?
Are you out of your mind? I can hear that. Thank you.
Ms. Dooley, you understand if you guys are having an argument, and this has happened before.
No, I understand that, Phil. Mr. Hendry has said that he's going to hang up on us.
I'm trying to get a freaking tree branch.
Phil, he had the front door open. He had the wood chipper out on our front lawn. What is wrong with you?
All right, Bobby, would it be better if you and Steve just part company?
No, he's the vice president of the Homeowners Association. He's supposed to be here. I don't know what's wrong with you. That's the problem, you know?
I don't have anything wrong with me. I'm trying to get a wood chipper.
Do you, Phil, would you just indulge me for one moment, okay?
No, I can't. I've got to keep going with this interview that we're doing, okay?
I understand that. I Steve, do you remember Fargo? You do, don't you?
Oh, my God.
That's right.
All right, okay. That's enough of that. Now, let's keep going with what you were saying because you were making some good points. Real Housewives of Beverly Hills was a show that was a kind of a...
Are you ready for him? Hold on for a minute.
I don't know.
You like that?
That hurt.
That hurt? You better believe it hurt. Better believe it hurt. Praise Jesus, it hurt.
Oh, God. How am I going to sit out?
That's for me to know and you to find out.
I think that you have a dysfunctional relationship going on there.
Well, Phil, every couple fights.
Not this way. Not the way you guys do, okay? Now, either we're going to continue with this discussion or I have to hang up.
What I was saying, and I apologize, Phil, for everything tonight. It's been that kind of a night. Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, put a towel on it, Steve. Just put a towel on it. He's bleeding.
What did you do to him?
I didn't do anything to him.
Sit down.
Put the towel inside your pants in the back, yeah.
What did you do to this man?
Phil, you wanted me to get to the point, didn't you?
I he's sitting on a towel.
You wanted me to get to the point. That's what I'm doing right now.
Yow!
Sit on the towel and put some ice in it.
What did you do to him?
The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, Phil, is a television program that speaks to all of us in that financial situation.
Yeah, wow, 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 wow.
What'd you do?
I'm sitting down to watch TV.
Okay, you know, I'm going to hang this phone up.
All right, I'll tell you. I had a pool cue.
You had a pool cue and did what?
Well, what do you think?
Pretty good.
877-876-PHIL. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Should flags be dropped to half-staff in remembrance of Russell Armstrong of Real Housewives of Beverly Hills or not? We'll be right back.
Phil Hendry.
Wow!
Call the Patriot Hotline now, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Or not. World famous Phil Hendry Show, and with me is Bobby and Steve Dooley here from the Western Estates Homeowners Association. We're discussing with them the death of Russell Armstrong. You may not know this man's name, but he was a person. He committed suicide. He committed suicide as the result, according to his mother, a woman by the name of Joan Hotchkiss. Is this a female or a man?
That's his mother, Phil. Her name is Joanne. It's misspelled by CNN.
It's John Ann.
No, it is not John Ann. It's Joanne.
I'm seeing John Ann, too.
Well, that's not her name, and I'll tell you why.
That was this.
I understand that, Steve, and again, I would ask you, you are my husband, and I love you.
I don't want the two of you conversing, if you don't mind, on air. And I don't mean to tell you what to do, but it turns into an argument.
I understand. I'm telling you to shut. John Ann is not any kind of a female name. Someone is pulling your leg.
And I saw it there.
And if you don't shut up, if you don't shut up, Steve, I'm going to throw the phone down, even though we're on the air. And I'm going to be on you, I'm going to be on you like white on rice. And
all right, Ms. Dooley, if I hear that kind of talk one more time, I'm hanging up.
You heard what he said, right?
Yeah, it's not the one.
You were the one on the wood chipper.
All right, please, okay? You're the man. I don't care what his mother's name is.
God, what's wrong with you?
Yeah, don't.
What happened to you?
You know what's happening to me is I'm trying to do a radio show. I'm trying to break up a domestic disturbance here between you and your husband, trying to figure out what a woman's name is, John Ann. I've never heard of any such name, but if that's what they say the name is. And on top of that, I'm trying to get to this thing about flags at half staff. You've got three families in your community who have said that they do not want to put their flags at half staff. They have said that they are going to, at this time, what is that?
Oh, Steve, what is
that? No, I got two. I do have two, yeah. We've got two over on Magnolia.
Okay. Phil, that is a siren. We've got flags that are at full staff. Now, understand...
You got a siren that tells you when people have a flag at full staff? Because they're not lowering it to half staff?
Understand, Phil, that as a homeowners association president, which is what I am, it is my job... to make sure that the rules of this... What is
it? Just a secret.
Go fast for it.
You know.
All right. It is my job, Phil, to...
Well, what's going on when that siren goes like that?
Can I finish a thought, Mr. Hendry? You've been telling me what to say to my husband. I won't do that. I'm doing everything that you've asked me to do. Can I finish a thought?
I apologize.
Thank you. This is an alert... We have asked people to lower their flags to half staff at the Western Estates Homeowners Association. I don't care how other people do things. We are people who have been successful in our lives. We do have money. We do have property. Real Housewives of Beverly Hills has spoken for us. It is not easy being an individual with money. And when I see a lot of these women, and believe me, I see them, getting their nails done and talking like they're something special because they drive a Chrysler. Well, you know something, Phil? There's a big difference between a Chrysler sedan and a Mercedes sedan. And with all of these people, there's another one.
All right, let me make all your favorites.
Steve's going over to check it now.
What triggers that alarm?
I'm sorry?
What triggers that alarm? I'm curious.
Well, Steve is right now. He scans with... He's wearing binoculars. Or I don't know how you say it.
He's looking through binoculars.
All right. He's looking through binoculars. He's not wearing them?
No, he's not wearing binoculars.
Well, what is it when they hang it around their neck?
Did they hang it around my neck, for God's sake?
Don't you talk to me like that.
Oh, boy. All right, Ms. Dooley.
No, don't hang up. Don't hang up. Because I have some things to say here, Mr. Henry. First of all, Steve has binoculars that he is scanning the tree line here at Western Estates. And there's another one, right?
Yeah.
Well, there isn't it?
That one I want to see the siren first.
I want to see if the siren works.
What is he doing?
He wanted to see if the siren... Do you like the sound of the siren?
I do. It's fun and everything. Test it. See, that's all I did.
Are you some kind of a microcephalic? Are you some kind of a regressive gene? Are you someone missing a chromosome or two? Should we just relegate you to the underworld so that someone from the time machine could find you millions of years in the future? Are you a Moloch? Are you a mutant?
Who are you talking to, Ms. Dooley?
I'm talking to the ass I married.
All right, you know something? I won't hang up on them because we've got a whole bloody segment to do, but get them under control.
What are you going to do?
First of all, her and him and whatever hang-up they've got tonight, man, it's got to end. So what if he's testing out the siren? I mean, he sounds like he's got the brain power of a 3-year-old. She's probably right.
Hey, I don't know. What's a microcephalic?
It's someone who suffers from a condition whereby the skull is not fully developed. It's a smaller skull on people. And I will not have any jokes made, and I will not... I swear to God, bud.
I'm not saying nothing.
It's a very unfortunate condition that some people have suffered from birth, where the skull is not completely formed. And, you know...
What's a Moloch?
The Moloch was from the Time Machine novel written by H.G. Wells. It was a mutant in the future that lived underground, and the Moloch came above ground at night, or whenever, and ate all the normal people, okay? That's all I'm going to say about that. And, Bud, I'd like you to get on the phone with him.
Yeah. Oh, Ms. Julie?
And this is the Phil Henry Show. As Bud Dickman, who is our screener, is talking right now to Bobby and Steve Dooley.
Yeah, you can't do it when you're talking about a guy being a retard and everything. Or not that, but I mean...
Don't say that.
All right. Yeah. Is your husband still there? Well, okay. But tell him not to have a wood chipper, and you can't have no siren neither. What am I... Who? My name's Bud. Dickman. D-I-C-K...
Oh, God.
M-A-N. Yeah. Uh-huh. And then another thing... What about the half-mast? The half-staff? What? Yeah, I know. It sounds like a penis.
You come on with that, please?
Sorry. Right on.
Unbelievable, man. Ms. Dooley.
Yes, Phil.
Under control?
I apologize, Phil. I'm sorry. Steve was playing with the siren. I told him it was strictly for people who have a flag at full staff.
All right, there are people that would say to you, Ms. Dooley, and I would be one of them, that people who have their flags at half-staff, that the flag being lowered to half-staff should be reserved only for Americans who have exhibited some remarkable public service, either in a lifetime or perhaps in some remarkable feat or event. We've lowered the flags to half-staff when presidents pass. We've lowered the flags to half-staff when great Americans have passed on. We've lowered the flags to half-staff when tragic events have occurred in our country. This is how we observe these things. Now you say that a man who committed suicide, who is the husband of a woman on Real Housewives of Beverly Hills...
Mr. Henry, you're listening to the things that I'm saying. I'm saying that they represented a great deal to a great many Americans.
Well, you're telling me they were spokespeople for a lifestyle.
They are spokespeople for an American lifestyle called having the means. Having the means. He lived in Beverly Hills. If I could describe it any better than that, I would.
He lived in Beverly Hills, so he's rich.
No, it's more than rich. It's more than rich.
You live in Western Estates.
That is also inadequate, because what I am and what Steve is and what we are together is more than, it better be a flag, I swear to God.
It is a swear to God flag. 2 o'clock.
Give me the binoculars. Hold on, Phil.
2 o'clock. Right over the palm trees.
I don't see a bloody thing.
Got a light up there. Spotlight?
No, I don't. That's a street light.
You haven't seen a flag?
No, I don't.
All right, but...
Oh, God, how did I ever marry you? So, Phil, what we're saying is this. For all of the money that people have...
Oh, will you come on, man? It's like talking to Rudy Canosa.
Who?
Right over there. 1 o'clock.
Just for 1 o'clock. Yes, okay, that is a flag. That is not at half staff. That is a...
What are you trying to determine, Ms. Dooley?
Well, I want to determine if it's an American flag. Is it a flag of the state of California, you know? It is. I'll tell you in a minute. Tell you in a minute.
Jeez.
I'm sorry, Mr. Henry. This is important to our community.
I understand that.
Tell you in a minute. Tell you in a minute.
Well, let me
finally. Steve, I can't.
What, you can't hear the flag because I got this on? Yeah. Well, that's one tree stump.
I don't know if that's an American flag or not.
There we go.
What are those, palm fronds?
Yeah.
From the front yard.
Yeah.
Okay, anybody got any idea on whether you're looking at an American flag or not? Do you have any idea whether you're looking at an American flag or not?
Hold on for a minute. One more. Come on, I wish I had a 2x4 like in that movie Fargo, huh?
Yeah.
Is it a flag? Is it an American flag?
What?
What you're looking at in the binoculars?
Oh, I'm sorry. I started watching Steve.
Turn that wood chipper off, would you please?
Mr. Henry, I'm not used to being spoken to in the way that what you've done.
I don't want my husband talk to you that way.
Ms. Dooley, I have been putting up with you guys with your wood chipper, your sirens to tell people whether or not their flags are at half staff. There he goes again with that thing. And I've been putting up with you. Oh, come on, will you?
2 o'clock, 2 o'clock.
No, that's not a flag. Steve, that's not a flag, okay? That's someone's laundry. And that's not, I wouldn't allow that. What we're talking about, Phil.
What you're talking about here is the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills flags at half staff. You got three families that are refusing. What are you going to do about it?
Wow, you really go for it, don't you?
What are you going to do about it? Because if I was one of those families, I wouldn't lower my flag to half staff either. I'd have my flag, I'd have Old Glory, flying high.
Even at night?
If it's lit, yes. Uplit.
I didn't know you could do that.
Yes, if you uplight the American flag, you may fly it at night.
So you would defy a homeowner's... This is very interesting. The audience tonight, Phil, is listening to you.
And I hope they are.
You would defy a homeowner's association. You would defy what people are trying to tell you about... What if you heard that?
Yeah, what if you heard that?
If I heard that, I'd call the police and say that someone is disturbing the peace with their asinine siren. That's what I would do. I'd probably have both of you arrested.
Oh, my God. Well, Phil, I'll tell you...
No, Ms. Dooley, you have to answer my question. What are you going to do if they don't lower their flags to half staff?
We can only do what we can do, and that is to place a lien on their property, which we attach to their homeowners association dues. And the lien is 30% of the homeowners association dues.
What are your homeowners association dues?
What are they?
It depends on the house. About $900.
About $900 a month.
So one-third of that is $300.
Give the boy a cigar.
Yeah, it's got a big brain.
Okay, I'll be right back here.
No, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to be...
877-876... 877-876-PHIL. We're talking here with Bobby and Steve. What are you doing, bud?
Just want to see what it sounds like.
Turn it off. 877-876-PHIL. Bobby and Steve Dooley here about Real Housewives of Beverly Hills and what they're going to do if homeowners do not lower their flags to half staff in honor of Russell Armstrong, the husband who committed suicide, the husband of Taylor Armstrong of Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. It is the utter, it's just a tragedy. 877-876-PHIL. We'll be right back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Radio for Patriots by Patriots. It's the Phil Henry Show. Call the Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Welcome back here, the world-famous Phil Henry Show, on the line with Bobby and Steve Dooley, and we're talking about this tragic, tragic suicide, the suicide of Russell Armstrong. He's the husband of Taylor Armstrong. Now, look, I don't know anything about this show. I don't watch this show.
Well, you know, that was the other thing I wanted to ask you.
What?
Do you even watch shows like this? And I know what your answer is going to be, Phil. You're going to say, no, I don't do that. Almost as if it's a badge of honor that you don't watch Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. I will tell you that anyone that doesn't watch Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, they're the ones with the problem.
Yeah.
They're the ones who are stuck up. They're the ones who think they're better than other people.
Oh, why do you say that?
Because if you have no compassion, even for people like this, and there are women out there who know exactly what I'm talking about, but because they don't have the courage, because they don't have what you like to refer to, Phil, as the guts, they won't admit that they're jealous, that they wish they were one of these women, that they wish they had the money and the resources. And that, yes, even if it meant the violent end to a husband's life by his own hand or someone else's.
And oh, really? Is that right? So you seem to think...
That's very good, Bobby.
Thank you.
Very good, Bobby. So you seem to think that women out there in Phil Henry land are so craving this life of luxury in Beverly Hills that even if it cost them the life of their husband by his own hand...
Or someone else...
They'd go for it.
I think they would, Mr. Henry. Let's find a guy dangling.
When Steve and I were talking, the few seconds it takes to absorb and to live through and to process those first few seconds when you're coming down those wooden steps and you see 2 feet that are not walking on a floor. They're in air. And you're wondering, what is that about?
And in other words, a man that is hanging by his neck.
Would you hold on, please?
Yeah, I gotta let her build up to it.
God, you're walking down...
I know what you're gonna say, Ms. Dooley. What do you want to build up to it? Good Lord Almighty, you're talking about discovering your own husband dead. You're talking about discovering a man that you love, a man that you married, a man who fathered your children, and suddenly life has become such a burden to that poor man that he's laying there, he's hanging... Oh, come on, will you?
Hold on, Phil. Hancock.
By that loud... Oh, she is. She's something, isn't she?
Yes, sir.
It's Frieda Weber, Phil. I'm sorry to interrupt you. She's from England. She moved here to the United States, 6 months ago, Steve?
About that.
So she's British. Okay. I said to her, all right, that's fine. We allowed her to have an American flag.
How do you allow someone to have an American flag? I don't understand that.
I just got done telling you she's British.
So what?
So what?
So what? What do you mean, so what?
What does that mean, so what? She's British. You don't give them a flag. I don't think you give anyone that isn't born here an American flag until they learn the protocol. They learn the Pledge of Allegiance. They learn how to fold an American flag properly. You don't just give that flag to anyone, Phil.
All right, you know something? I would agree with that to a point. But I'm not going to make any laws against it. I would like to know that people know how to handle the flag. I would like to know that people handle the flag respectfully, but I can't see passing laws.
Did I say I passed the law?
No, but as the Homeowners Association president, she's not allowed to have a flag.
No, and you know why? Because when she put the flag up, she raised it all the way to the top. I had told them, half-staff, we gave the half-staff alert, which is... That's just that part. Let me do it again, Steve. Which button is it?
The top button. You only got to push it one time because of the half-staff alert.
Speaking of half-staff, Steve, no better man to show me how than you.
Oh, yeah. How dare you?
I'm just kidding. Okay. There, that's half-staff. And thank you. Have staff, Steve. And
well, you love the team.
Hey, 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 hey!
The phone for me. Oh, you have staff, huh?
What the hell is going on?
I don't know, just to check.
Ow! 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 Don't you ever do that again.
I'm sorry.
Okay, you know what? I'm hanging up. And you know what? I'm sending a cop out to your house.
I beg your pardon?
I'm sending a cop out to your house.
Send a cop at me and you can see it, me.
Don't you ever put your hands on me.
Call me half-staff.
You called him half-staff.
What was that?
That's Bud Dickman.
Well, whatever it was, tell it to Bud out of my life.
Bud.
Hey, call a guy half-staff. What did guy gun do?
Yeah, well, guess what? He got it.
What are you doing?
Yeah, how does that feel, huh? He got the cord around his neck, Phil.
Okay, get the cops over there.
Right.
Oh, what's the cop?
You know something, man? Those two people, I've had them on the air for, I don't know, 10, 12 years, something like that. I've never heard anything like that before in my life.
I'm telling me out of control, man.
Yeah, hi. Is this the police? Yeah. Yeah, hi, I'm Bud Dickman. Well, anyway. Yeah? Oh, they're listening to the show.
That's nice.
Would you get the... Henry. From the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
And welcome here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Every night we're here until 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. This is Radio 4 Patriots by Patriots. Thank you. And we're online at philhendryshow.com. So if you would like to enjoy our show visually as well as audioly, you can watch us at philhendryshow.com. We've got Phil TV in HD and some behind the scenes. It's uncensored, meaning that during the breaks, we're just here. And there have been some pretty wild things. In fact, I brought it up to Kevin Pollak when I was on his chat show because he has a similar video studio to ours. And he does a tremendous, tremendous job with his show on Sunday afternoons. But I said to him, you know, our show is uncensored. And his is too, but he doesn't go into full emotional breakdowns like I do. And he did say, well, you know, they're getting a look at the hows and the whys and the wherefores. And he said, you're flying by the seat of your pants. Of course they're going to see that kind of thing.
Yeah, but he's just being nice.
Yeah. I think probably if he really said what he felt, he'd probably be all embarrassed.
Oh, is that right? Well, you know, the way he said it sounded to me like maybe he'd seen one. What do you mean he was trying to be nice?
I think maybe he was. You're going to have to call him up and ask him. Let me call him up and ask him. Here, let me get
away from the phone. No, I don't want you to call him up and ask him. All right, 877-876-PHIL is our number here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Now, I want to remind you that not only are we at philhendryshow.com, we're also on Twitter at realphilhendry forward. What is it? It's twitter.com/realphilhendry. Twitter.com/RealPhilHendry. And also, we're on Facebook at Facebook.com/PhilHendry. So there's a lot of different ways that we can stay in touch with you, and certainly you are welcome. We've got one more day left in our Phil lookalike contest, and some guy who thought he was being cute, he photoshopped a picture of some dude, some old guy on an oxygen tank. And like I said, you can say I'm old because I'm 58, man, but you're from West Virginia. Woohoo! And given the choice, I think I'd rather be old.
Ow!
So, anyway, I said to the guy, it's a lookalike contest, man, so I'm assuming that's you. And he's all... So anyway, go to twitter.com/RealPhilHendry and enter there with your Real Phil Hendry lookalike picture. And the winner gets a personally autographed Legacy CD from me to you, like that. All right. R.C. Collins is a cadet at Bradley Military Academy, which is located in Altadena, California. And we are talking to him as part of our five-part series on education, secondary, high school education, and, you know, careers, especially young people who are thinking about a career in the military. God knows we've got a the greatest generation of young people. I'm telling you, I think we really do. I mean, I always talk about these touchy feely parents, but if you look at the young guys that and young women that volunteered for military service after 9/11, if you look at the military that we have, it's amazing, and it shows that the draft, getting rid of the draft, was a good thing. RC joining us. RC, how are you doing?
Mr. Inman, very good. Thank you.
And you are a what class?
Secondary 3. That's the equivalent of a junior.
Could you speak up for me?
Yes, sir. Secondary 3 is the equivalent of a junior in high school.
Okay, so you're like a junior. Are you called a junior cadet?
Well, no, a secondary 3 cadet. I have the rank of a lieutenant in our rank structure here.
Okay, and you wrote a paper that was of interest online for the Bradley Military Academy newspaper about how disappointing how disappointed you are in the fact that bin Laden has been captured, and that you went out on a survival training recently, and you ran a little bit afoul of the authorities. Now, I'm not exactly sure how all of that happened or what happened. Can you give us a little inside?
Yes, sir. We went on semi-regular, it's like a semi-annual training exercise, survival exercise. Basically, what happens, Mr. Henry, is we're given different survival options. We are allowed to take with us a very limited amount of survival supply. But we go into an area of the bush, generally an area of overgrowth around Bradley here in the Altadena area. We've got a lot of those things like in the foothill areas. And it is basically an exercise in escaping. Excuse me. It's basically an exercise in.
You want to get a glass of water?
Yeah, if you don't mind.
R.C. Collins with us, a junior cadet.
Yes, sir.
Go ahead.
It's basically an exercise in escaping a kind of a virtual captivity or prisoner of war situation where you are able to escape from a prisoner of war style camp and remain alive in the wild for several days while you await rescue. And so that's what that was, and that's when I brought along with me some homebrew, and I just, you know, I was sick of what I'd been reading in the paper, and I guess you might say I kind of went overboard and violated regulations.
All right. What were you angry about that you had seen in the paper? Now, you're out in this training exercise.
Correct.
And this is an exercise whereby you escape some prisoner of war captivity?
Yes, sir. It's pretty standard in the military, and we're doing it at the military academy level now with survival training.
All right. So it's survival training.
Yes, sir.
All right. So you smuggled some kind of alcohol with you.
Yes, I did.
What did you smuggle?
Well, what I did was I smuggled some grain alcohol, and when I got into the wood, I used different kinds of sap. I used some different kinds of juices from leaves and from different fruits that I found. And fermented a little bit of it, fermented a little bit more and drank it.
So you made a little bit of homebrew out in the wild?
Yes, sir.
Why?
Well, I mean, like I was saying, I was angry with what happened, that the bin Laden had been killed by the Navy SEALs, which I have to say I'm grateful that they got him. And, you know, my hat's off to the guys that did that, but I feel a little bit cheated because my whole reason for coming into the military was to go and get bin Laden. And I had always said that I wanted to put his head on a stick and come out of the cave area with a head on a stick.
And you were not able to get bin Laden's head on a stick?
Yeah, because the Navy SEALs went in and did it.
All right. You're not saying, though, that you're sorry that the SEALs got him?
Well, I think that was the dilemma that I had, and was one of the dilemmas that I had when I went out on training exercise and started to ferment this sort of a moonshine that I made out there. And I found myself blacking out, and probably about 24 hours, I wandered into a populated area, a neighborhood area. I only had on a pair of shorts, and I was pretty disoriented.
Well, let me ask you something, because you're describing me to me right now, RC Events. How do you feel about this? How do you feel, you know?
Well,
how do you feel about going out and getting drunk on a training exercise on a survival course? How do you feel about being disappointed that Bin Laden was killed by the SEALs? How do you feel about being conflicted about that? What is going on inside of you? Because for those of us who are listening, I got to tell you, it sounds a little hard to grasp.
Well, I don't know why it would be hard to grasp. I mean, my whole life was spent wanting to be in the military. When I heard about everything that happened on 9/11 and all the stuff that happened on that day, I decided that I wanted to join the U.S. Army, and I wanted to go to Afghanistan or over to Kakistan or however, wherever they is, and I wanted to go find Bin Laden. I wanted to sever it off and put it on some kind of a stick or a pole. And
you wanted to literally cut Bin Laden's head off?
Yes, sir, I did, because that's what he was doing to people.
And then what did you want to do?
Well, I mean, I wanted to go in and I wanted to cut it off and put it on a pole or put it on some sort of a device and then come out of the cave with it and show everyone that we did it, you know, and give credit to my unit and to the U.S. Army. But as it turns out, the Navy SEALs done it. And, you know, I mean, like I said, I have all respect for them, but I also am kind of, I'm a little bit conflicted about it, you know, because I really feel cheated. And
all right, how can you feel cheated, R.C., when nobody said to you, hey, by the way, it's your job, R.C. Collins, to go get Bin Laden. It's going to be your job, R.C. Collins, to go and cut his head off and put it on a stick or whatever you said. It's going to be your job, R.C. Collins. How do you feel cheated because you were not promised the job?
Well, I feel that an entire generation of us was promised the job when the 9/11 attacks happened, and I seen it, and we all did see it. And when we went into the military, it was a promise that was made to us that we was going to go and get Bin Laden. I'm sure you saw, Mr. Henry, the way that the country reacted when they did get him, and everybody danced, and everyone was dancing and singing, and it was like a whole, and everybody there wished that they had gone to get him. And I did too, but I felt very cheated that I, you know, it's hard to explain except for the fact that the Navy, and everybody looks down their nose at the Army and the Navy. You know, the Navy, they're supposed to be on, and this is the one thing that nobody ever brings up. The Navy is not supposed to be on land. The Navy is supposed to be on the water. And
what do you mean the Navy's not supposed to be on land? Are you talking about the SEALs?
Well, yes, sir. I mean, the Navy SEALs are supposed to be on water. They do all their fighting on water. They do demolition. They are in boats and ships and submarines, too. And these Navy SEALs was thousands and thousands and thousands of miles up in a mountain range. And that's when the Navy has gone completely out of where they're supposed to be. What am I supposed to say about that? It would be like if the Army went on a boat.
All right, we're talking with R.C. Collins here. We're going to take a break. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. And among the many things that this young man is talking about, and he is a U.S. He's a military cadet at a military academy. He feels cheated. He wanted to go and find Bin Laden. He represents a whole generation of kids. He wanted to join the Army to do that. It was not to be. The U.S. Navy SEALs went and got Bin Laden. He feels cheated because while the SEALs did a great job, the SEALs are Navy, and they're supposed to do all their fighting on the water. What were they doing on land? 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Should the Navy SEALs, if they're called SEALs and they fight for the United States Navy, should they do all of their combat operations on water? Should they not leave the land fighting to the Army? 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
But SEALs can go on land.
Well.
To call the Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
World famous Phil Henry Show here with R.C. Collins, who is a level 3 cadet, a junior cadet in a military academy. And that is in Bradley Military Academy in Altadena, California. For those of you not familiar with Altadena, it's above Pasadena in the northern suburban environs of Southern California. But we're really talking here about military academy life and how Bin Laden's capture affected those of you. You're very young, R.C. I appreciate your patriotism. You've made some comments here about the SEAL team. You know that these guys are the best. You know,
well, there's no question, Mr. Henry. There's no question at all that the Navy SEALs is the best, and I don't mean. And if ever you was going to send, you know, but the thing that I think is important to know is the SEALs are supposedly, if you know what a SEAL is, and they named the Navy SEALs after a SEAL. The SEALs are there on water, and the Navy is in the water too. And how come they allowed them to go on land? And
you know, the SEALs. If you know anything about SEALs, SEALs go on land.
Well, SEALs go on land, but they go on land on like a rock that is splashed with a wave and everything. That's not, it's sort of the same, and it's, in other words, they will go on the land, but it is being splashed with a wave.
And but what are you saying exactly, that SEALs, with all of that training, we limit them to the ocean because they happen to be a part of the U.S. Navy?
I don't want to say anything bad, but let's take a look at what happened to the Navy SEALs. If you put them on land, okay, that's, you know, I think you're pushing your luck. When you put them in the air, and this is a naval-based combat group, they're used to water and being down on the water and everything, in a frog suit. Now they're in an aircraft, now they're flying, now they're even more like, what? You know, it's disorienting, I think, for a Navy. Like it would be for me if you put me on a ship and then said, go fight the enemy. I'd be, you know, where, you know, how do I do it? I'm on water. So I think that's the thing to remember.
All right, our number is 877-876-PHIL, and let's go to some phone calls here. Calling us from Macon is John. Go ahead, John. You're on the Phil Henry Show with R.C. Collins.
Thank you very much, Phil.
Yes, sir.
For one, I'm going to speak directly to the cadet. One.
Oh,
if
yes, sir.
If you know anything about history, SEAL stands for sea, air, and land. That's what the acronym of SEAL is. SEAL isn't a name. I worked with Navy SEALs.
Well, that's
they are trained. They are trained for sea, for air, and for land duties. And that includes mountainous terrain. And if you've caught up on anything during the past 4 years, the Pentagon and the Joint Chiefs of Staff has said that all special forces units will cross-train with each other. That means any group in the special forces unit can all work their environment. You need to study your history.
Well, I know that, sir, but I just was going to add, I'm talking about the practice. First of all, I'm not sure you said the Pentagon.
Pentagon.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Pentagon.
Okay. If you're in the Navy, then I think it's reasonable to assume if I'm in the Navy, hello, where's the water, okay? And I'm in the Army, and I don't know if you're in the Army. But anyway, then they give a guy to do something. They give a guy a job to do, and he's not on the water.
Okay.
You see what I'm saying?
No, you didn't hear what this gentleman said.
I'm a 17-year Navy veteran of a search and air rescue combat unit. Now listen to me. I served 6 years in Iraq and Afghanistan on the land because my
job
is search and rescue in Iraq and Afghanistan.
What's Iraq? So,
Iraq, the country Iraq.
Oh, I'm sorry.
My rank is first class petty officer. Let me tell you something.
Okay.
There is Navy, Army, Navy.
Okay.
There's everybody that serves in Iraq. It doesn't matter whether you're on land or on the sea. We all have specialized jobs. Sometimes
requires
to be on land.
Do you trust a guy that is only used to being on the water? Do you trust him to go to the mountains and kill and fight?
You know, SEALs spend half their time on land. in combat?
Well, yeah. I mean, you got to live in a house.
No, no, no.
What?
They don't live in houses. They live whatever, wherever they're at. When they want to camp out, if it's in the middle of a damn stream on a mountainside, that's where they camp out at.
They well, but what I'm saying is,
withstand this stuff.
Uh-huh. If the SEAL go, wouldn't you be afraid if an Army guy came onto the boat and goes, okay, yeah, I'm the Army, let me drive the boat. Come on.
Oh, they, you know, you're not even listening to what this man is. Yeah, I'm sorry to interrupt you.
That's okay.
If the Army comes on a boat and goes, okay, we're the Army, we're here, let's go shoot people on boats. That's the stupidest thing I ever heard.
By the way,
God,
the Army does have ships. Believe it or not.
What?
Look it up in your
what?
History. Yes.
Why?
They do.
Why? Why?
To transport their goods. You think
good.
They get their tanks over there half the time? But just the Navy?
That's what you got the Navy for. That's what you got a Navy for.
The Navy is not for freighting stuff. You don't use the Navy to freight things.
What do you think Marine stands for? Thank you, my ass rides in Navy equipment. Okay?
So that's a completely disrespectful thing that is said. Thank you very much, John. Yeah, go ahead, sir. Give me that last thought. The Marines what?
Did you know that Marines work with the Navy SEALs?
Well, I don't understand that either, because Marines are supposed to only shoot people on land, too.
No, why do you think they're called Marines? They are originating on ships. Anyway, thanks a lot, John. They're called Marines because they originate, they're a fighting force that is ferried or taken to the point of combat by way of ships, by way of naval craft. Did you know that?
I don't know. Mr. Andrew, you're not even in the Marines or in the Air Force.
Right, you're right. I'm not in the Marines, the Air Force. I'm in the SEALs. We'll be right back here. The world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL. R.C. Collins with us tonight, unfortunately.
Phil Henry.
What's that crack supposed to mean?
Call the Patriot Hotline now, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Joining us on our newsmaker line this evening is a young man, R.C. Collins. He is a cadet at Bradley Military Academy. We're also going to have on your commandant, R.C., who can fill us in a little bit more on this incident. Because let's remember that the reason why we're having you on the show isn't that we can discuss with you whether it was a good thing the SEALs killed bin Laden. Of course it was.
I mean, I'm not arguing that, Mr. Henry. I think that it was a good thing that bin Laden got killed, but I think that we, as members of that generation that did seen 9/11, that we didn't have no chance to do it ourselves. And
but I'm talking about when you went out on the survival.
Oh, yeah. Yes, sir.
Okay, so you go out on the survival training, and you're drinking. You got drunk. You distilled some liquor out there in the woods. I guess that you get credit for that, you know.
Well, I mean, it isn't really a very difficult thing. I did bring with me grain alcohol and rainwater, and then I brought some fruit juice. I used some leaves, and pretty much felt that as we said, I wanted to stomp some brain cells because I wasn't feeling. That there was really much challenge. The next morning I woke up and I was in another place that I didn't know that I was. The place that I was in was not the place that I should have, that I knew. The place that I knew I wasn't in.
What, I don't understand. What do you mean the place you knew?
Well, I mean the place that I went to sleep, or where I thought I went to sleep.
So you blacked out?
Yes, sir. I guess I did.
Okay, 877-876-PHIL is our number. All right, I want to get into, and then we're going to have Commandant Wireman on, because what you did is you broke the regulations of the military academy. In the meantime, you're talking about the Navy SEALs. You're glad that they killed bin Laden, but you don't believe that the Navy SEALs should have done it because they're Navy and they belong on water.
Yes, sir.
Well, you just heard a man say that the Navy SEALs stands for sea, air, and land.
Technically, Mr. Henry, that would be SAL, and I'm not trying to make a joke. And
no, sea, air, and land, the first two letters of SEAL.
Well,
wait a minute. Sea, air, and land, first two letters of sea, air, and land, L, SEALs. Okay.
All right. I mean, I think that's just a way of trying to justify two wrongs don't make a right. You know,
what do you mean two wrongs don't make a right? What does that mean? Are you telling me that the SEALs, the finest fighting force that we have, the most surgical team of commandos that the world has probably ever seen, you're telling me that these guys, they did something wrong?
No, sir. No, I am not saying that. I'm saying that the command structure, the command chain kind of blew it, because I think what they should have done is said, okay, the Army guys, they take care of business, okay? If it's on land, if it's on terra firma, if it's, you know, if you can walk where you're going to be going to. Like, if you're in the Air Force, you can't walk to where you're going to go to fight. And if you're in the Navy, you can't walk there neither. So if the command chain can sit down and have a meeting, which of these guys, which ones does they walk? Or not does they walk, but...
You know something? What about the Marines?
What about them? They're part... You said they come from the Navy. They were spawned by the Navy. The Marines are... I think they're almost like a gang or something. They're not even in... I think they're not under control or nothing. And
all right, you know something? I don't think you're qualified, you know...
Well, excuse me, Mr. Henry, but if I'm not qualified, you sure aren't qualified, because... I said I'm ready to eat my own guts.
I don't think we have to be. I don't think I've got to be qualified to tell you what Marines do. You're calling them some kind of weird thing spawned by the Navy. You're saying that the SEALs should not have been used.
Yeah, they shouldn't be used because of the fact that they're on water. And the proof in that was when the Navy SEALs, that last week when they got attacked by the Taliban. And they were in an aircraft that was further away from where they are normally going to be, which is on the water. And I think that disorients them. And I think that once they're disoriented, okay, they're all, what? You know, I mean, you know, we're supposed to be on land. Or I mean, I'm a SEAL. I was trained to be on the water, and now I'm not on water, and I'm not even on the land. I'm above the land in a craft. That I'm not,
You know, what do you think these guys are, man? You think they came out of the hills or something? You think they're like Martians? They understand. You heard what the man said. You know,
Mr. Henry, I heard what that man said, and you're using everything what he said to pretend like it's stuff that you thought up.
No, I'm not pretending like it's stuff I thought up. I'm saying I heard that man talking about the training and the cross-training, which is very important. All right, hold the line here. Number 877-876-PHIL. I want to get on the line here. Commandant Harvey Wireman of the Bradley Military Academy. Commandant Wireman, sir?
Yes, this is Commandant Wireman.
Sir, how are you?
I'm good.
Can you give me a little background here on this situation?
First of all, I want to say to you, Phil, that in our command structure and in the command chain, as the commandant, this man, Cadet Wireman, should have already said to me, good evening.
Good evening, Commandant Wireman.
Well, it's a little too late, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
So you've already shown insolence and disrespect by not saying good evening and saluting and all of that. Now, the reason why I sound very informal, Phil, is because it's a military academy at Bradley Military Academy. But we still have a very rigid training exercise. Now, Cadet Collins...
Yeah, it's actually, well, yeah, okay.
What does that mean, it's actually, yeah, okay?
I'm sorry, sir. I mean, it's actually third level, Cadet Collins.
Well, don't correct me. Don't ever correct me. Do you understand?
Is Mr. Henry there?
Don't ask if Mr. Henry is there.
I'm here, but I'm listening to Commandant Wireman talking to you.
Well, I just thought, you know, anytime you want to jump in with something.
Don't talk to him. You're talking to me.
Yes, sir.
Commandant, Cadet, whatever your name is, Collins.
You know, I don't know if it's senility or...
Listen to me.
Yes.
You have disgraced yourself. You've disgraced Bradley Military Academy with your drunkenness and now with this outrageous behavior on a national talk show tonight. You are talking about your brotherhood. You're talking about the military machine of the United States of America, the armed forces. Do you understand that?
Yes, sir, I do.
You're talking about Navy SEALs like they're a bunch of guys. And what did you say in that paper that I read yesterday?
Sir, I thought that I was doing the right paper.
No, you did not. You said Navy SEALs spend all their time throwing a beach ball back and forth to each other in swimming pools, didn't you?
I do not remember, sir.
Don't lie to me. Didn't you say that?
Yes, sir, I did.
You're kidding.
No, I'm not kidding. This kid wrote a paper as part of his punishment and said that he truly believed Navy SEALs spent most of their time frolicking in swimming pools and throwing balls back and forth.
I thought they were playing volleyball.
You thought they were playing volleyball. You further said that you thought the Marines were some freak of nature, some kind of illegal street gang spawned by the Navy. You further went on to say that the Army is underused, disrespected, and you said the Army kicks all of its incompetent officers upstairs. Were you talking about me?
No, sir, I was not talking about you. I'd never not do, no, I would never do that.
Yeah, bull crap. I want you to report to my office in 3 minutes. I'm here in the Commandant building, and then I'll be retiring to my quarters.
Yes, sir.
That is all.
Where'd they go?
I guess you got to go report to the Commandant.
Well, he's not supposed to hang up on me, but you got to figure these things out, bud, before they go on the air with me, okay?
Yeah, he said he got to go report.
I heard what he said. I know what he said. He just hangs the phone up?
Yeah, I guess that's the way it's the command structure and all of this stuff like that.
Are they going to call us back?
I'm holding on to call right now.
All right, well, Bud Dickman will call. Where are you calling?
I'm calling at the Commandant's quarters.
The Commandant's quarters. Are you calling, Wireman?
Yeah.
All right, in other news.
Yo, Commandant Wireman?
In other news.
Yeah, this is Bud Dickman.
There's a civil war here.
You guys, is he there?
Will you shut up?
Yeah, he's there.
Okay. Let me get him back on. Commandant Wireman, sir?
Yes, this is Commandant Wireman. I've got Cadet Collins here. Cadet Collins has defaced and defiled and otherwise disgraced Bradley Military Academy. He will kiss the gunner's daughter at approximately yay past leeway. Yay past leeway, which is a Navy term. And
what are you using Navy terms for? That's gay. I'm in the Army.
Why, you little... Yeah, felt pretty good.
What is kiss the gunner's daughter?
Kissing the gunner's daughter is to simply hug a cannon. This is a cannon from the War of 1812 that has been bronzed, and it was placed out in front of Bradley Military Academy. I have it hauled to my quarters when I know that we have a cadet that will kiss the gunner's daughter. He embraces the cannon with his trousers dropped three-quarters of the way across the cheeks of the buttock. At that time, I remove my belt, which is a very thick rawhide belt, and I begin to flail away until there is blood. Now, we don't try to scar the young man, but we do want him to be reminded of his duties. And I have to enjoy it. Now, that is part of Army regulation.
What do you mean you've got to enjoy it?
I've got to enjoy it.
Yeah, I looked it up in the Army regulation, and he got to enjoy it.
You didn't look up anything.
Hold on for a minute. Kiss the gunner's daughter.
Is it gay past leeway yet?
I don't know. It's a quarter to midnight. That's good enough. That's got it. What are you laughing at? I just scarred a man for life.
That really hurt.
Thanks very much.
But wait a minute. I bought advertising on your show.
Okay, so, Bud, thank you very much. What'd you do? Dial a nut house?
That's the Bradley Military Academy, the place you want me to dial.
Well, it sounds like some nut bin. It sounds to me like they got whatever got loose in that place.
I thought he was doing it in rhythm there.
Yeah, he's spanking that kid in rhythm. Ow, 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 whatever. All right, we'll be back with more news and more fantastic wonderfulness. Good God. Here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, Ted Bell may stop by. Plus, news and information with Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Radio for patriots, by patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show. Call the Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Well, one of the things I've always believed, just in my travels in this world, one of the things I've always believed is that autocrats, dictators, people that are in the business of non-democratic forms of government, you know, sheikhs and kings and all of those kinds of people that we fought our revolution to get rid of, it's always been my belief that those people are ultimately really stupid. And I've got proof. In the last 100 years, every form of autocracy or dictatorship or totalitarianism that we have ever fought has been against a leader or a set of leaders who were so ignorant of our way of life, how we think, what motivates us, what gets us up off our ass and going, that it was fatal to them. Like Al-Qaeda, like the Nazis, in some respects like the communists. They always short Americans. They always say that we're lazy. They always say that we're mixing too much the races. You know, we're too much of that jazz, too much of that rock and roll, too much soft living. It's always the same thing, and they always make that mistake to their destruction. I mean, if you were to look at the world, for instance, and I keep using as a metaphor World War II because it's a very good one. If you look at the world back then, and you saw these goose-stepping guys in these helmets and shiny boots, and then you saw a bunch of cats dancing to jazz music, and you were asked which one will win the war, I'm sure you would have picked the Nazis. But therein lies the true understanding of people and societies, and particularly ours. If you give people freedom and you give them a good life and a happy life, they want to fight for it, you know. Now, here comes David Letterman. David Letterman is now the target of a jihadist movement. And by the way, they consider David Letterman to be a Jew, which he's not. They said he is a sick Jew. The jihadist posted a photo of the 64-year-old comedian describing him as a sick Jew as defined features. Anyway, threats to David Letterman's tongue out and assassination, threats to cut his tongue out and assassinate him, have been posted on a website frequented by Al-Qaeda after he gloated about the death of one of Osama bin Laden's lieutenants, Ilyas Kashmiri, in a seething rant on some jive-ass web forum and translated by the site Institute. The radical called this week for U.S. counterparts to assassinate Letterman and cut the tongue out of the lowly Jew. He's actually a Presbyterian. I don't know if, in terms of ethnicity, if his people are anywhere from anywhere near the Mediterranean. Doesn't look like it to me.
From wherever Alfred E. Newman's from.
Wherever Alfred E. Newman's from, huh?
Well, no, I'm not joking. I mean, what part of... Are Alfred E. Newman's people from the Mediterranean?
Does it look like Alfred E. Newman's people are from the Mediterranean? In any event, he's a lowly Jew. That's what they think. According to the site group, which tracks extreme websites, a poster calling himself Umar al-Bazwari is responsible for the post. I saw with my own eyes and heard with my own ears one of the lowlifes of the Jews and one of their pigs mocking one of the leaders of the Mujahideen, he wrote. The talk show host reportedly celebrated the death of the terror leader by joyfully signaling a finger across his neck. Sounds good to me. The jihadist posted a photo of the 64-year-old comedian describing him as a sick Jew is defined features. What does that mean?
Some kind of Al-Mujahideen thing.
Al-Mujahideen.
That's the name of the guy.
That ain't no name of a guy. You mean Al-Qaeda or Mujahideen?
Yeah.
Yeah. Site analyst Adam Raisman told Entertainment Weekly that the threat was made on Shmuck Al-Islam. Is that what it's called?
No.
Well, that's what it says. Shumak al-Islam, a site where messages from al-Qaeda frequently first appear online in the U.S. It's a clearinghouse for al-Qaeda material. It gets the most al-Qaeda supporters. Don Borelli, former assistant special agent in charge of the FBI, said the rhetoric is not a joke. In general, you cannot write any of these off as a non-viable threat. These internet threats have been a rallying cry to have the guy's head. If I am the guy targeted in one of those things, I would be taking it seriously and hunker down. That belief is not universally shared, however. It could be a total hoax and probably is, but in this world of mass communication, something that seems frivolous can intensify. you know, if it gets picked up by the wrong people. This is a guy named Charles Strosler. I think you got to take it seriously, only from the standpoint of the whole monkey see, monkey do mentality of the American people, or the monkey see, monkey do mentality of these weird asses. You know, he may not even be the guy. There might be a guy targeting David Letterman who is not even Islamic. He might even, not even, you know, probably American. But he's, you know, he's a psycho, and it's that monkey see, monkey do thing. So he wants to copycat or whatever. And so whatever security steps Mr. Letterman could take, he should take. And it doesn't have to be anything more than a bodyguard. And I'm sure that that's something he can afford, you know.
Well, yeah, but those bother me, the Al-Qaeda and all them, man, they come after you with like five, six guys.
Yeah, they have a whole bunch of people.
Oh, that ain't going to happen. I mean, that's, I wouldn't, you know, I wouldn't stake my life on it. If anything is, if there's any threat to Mr. Letterman, it's by one nut who's going to say, wow, I think I'll do what Al-Qaeda, you know, wants me to. And that's taken care of by a bodyguard. Not by a bunch of, you don't have to hire a limousine driver. To, what are you talking about, those limousine drivers? You know?
Yeah, those guys who learn how to drive and everything, and then they squeal it around and stuff.
Yeah, I've seen that on TV.
Whoa, you saw it on TV. It must be fantastic. You know.
Hey, they train really hard to do that.
I understand that, but it doesn't necessarily mean that's what he needs. I don't personally think that he's going to be attacked by some squad of Al-Qaeda guys, you know, jumping in front of the car and guys jumping in.
You ever saw that movie? You saw that movie that we've seen, The Enforcer? Remember how they tased the mayor and everything?
That was a Clint Eastwood movie. Are you nuts or something?
Yeah, but it could happen.
Did it? That movie's 30-some years old. They jump into the limousine, and they tase the mayor, and then they get this freaking shoulder-mounted Stinger missile, Laws rockets, and they blow the guard tower off of Alcatraz or some jazz. You know, I don't know, man. Taped at the Ed Sullivan Theater on Broadway in Midtown, Letterman leaves at about 2:30. He goes home to 453... I'm kidding. You know,
boy, what if they did that?
No, they're not going to do that. Taped at the Ed Sullivan Theater on Broadway in Midtown, Letterman's phone number... No. Letterman's show is on a summer hiatus. A spokesman for its production company, Worldwide Pants, wouldn't comment on the threat. The comic isn't alone among media figures singled out for taunting radicals. In 2004, Dutch filmmaker Theo... Oh, that's a good one to bring up. That guy died. Dutch filmmaker Theo van Gogh, who, yes, is a or was a distant relative of Vincent van Gogh, was murdered after producing a film targeting the status of women in Muslim culture. That's one of those, I'll never forget that, because I thought it well, I better not say, but I thought it perfectly illustrated how united the artistic community in the world is, especially filmmakers. When that young man was killed, nobody said a word. Not a word! In the U.S., South Park creators Trey Stone and Matt Parker were marked for death online after their show satirized Muslims. I would talk to those guys. They probably know what they're doing. Yeah. We'll be back. Phil Henry Show.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
World famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch, and where we go through the looking glass every night to bring you places other talk shows wish they could, but they cannot. This is Radio 4 Patriots by Patriots. Coming up, an unemployed single mom wants to be the fattest woman in the world. I just showed a picture of this woman on our Phil TV and HD videocast. It's truly revolting. There is nothing redeeming. I don't think there's anything physically healthy, obviously, about getting that large. She has some interesting comments that she makes. We'll get into it. Plus, we'll be giving away a date with this woman. I'm kidding. However, it wouldn't be a bad thing, you know, if we had the budget for it, which I don't think we do.
Maybe we do.
Well, don't even check. That if she believes she's sexy, and she does, and I'm holding up a picture of her for our Phil TV and HD audience, if she really believes she's sexy and she has said she feels sexy, I would give away a date with her, all expenses paid, with one proviso: you simply must. Okay, you ready?
Yeah.
You must have sex with her.
8 fried pork sausages.
So anyway, I...
Oh, come on, man. You can't make a man do that. It'd be like prostitution.
I'm kidding. All right, 877-876-PHIL. And so anyway, she got that way by eating...
8 fried pork sausages, 6 fried eggs, 2 large plates of French fries, 10 slices of fried bread, 2 ham and cheese bagels, 8 steaks, 4 portions of rice, 10 cakes, 1 portion of spaghetti bolognese, 6 potatoes, 2 large cups of tea, each with 7 sugars, 1 gallon of fresh orange juice, and 1 quart of punch.
To which I can only add...
Hang in there, honey.
All right, so she's 728 pounds. She's aiming to be the world's heaviest woman. She's got a big, fat, dare I say, crap-eating smile on her face.
Yeah, she probably is eating crap. All that stuff she eat.
Well, don't get too rude now, Robert. Although that's... pretty funny. 32-year-old single mother of 2 has already passed the previous living record holder of 700-pound Donna Simpson, who lives in Jersey. So we'll talk about that this hour. Aliens may destroy humanity to protect other civilizations, say scientists. Of all the things we have to worry about, aliens? Yes. And other things tonight, Representative Ron Paul supporter takes out ad calling for women who had sex with Rick Perry. It's an interesting world we're living in, and it may sound to you like we're losing our minds. We're not. Just a few people are losing their minds, and they're on television. Remember that. There's only a few people losing their minds, and they're on television. 877-876-PHIL is the number. So, in Casa Grande, Arizona, Suzanne Emmon eats more than 20,000 calories a day in a bid to become the fattest woman of all time. She weighs 728 pounds. She's aiming to hit 1,610. Now, this has got to be a joke, or she's serious, and she intends to be 1,610 pounds and live. The 32-year-old single mother of 2 has already passed the previous living record holder. The bigger I get, the better I feel. I feel confident. I feel sexy. Wow. Why not see how fat I can get? I want to break the stigma that being fat is a bad thing. Maybe it's not. Maybe all those heart attacks were caused by something else. Maybe she'll get really, really big, but she'll still say...
No, Phil, get off me.
Because of the...
Are you kidding me, man?
Anyway, and even plans to increase her calorie intake to keep gaining. I'd love to find out if it's... I'd love to find out if it's humanly possible to reach a ton. This is suicide by 8 fried pork sausages, man.
You're going to die.
I don't know. Maybe she won't. How long has someone lived weighing a ton? We don't know.
What about Jabba the Hutt or something like that? I guess that never happened, though, huh?
No, I guess it didn't, man, because it was Star Wars. Wow.
Are you kidding me? You thought Star Wars is real and everything?
I forgot.
You forgot. Anyway, I'd love to find out if it's humanly possible to reach a ton, she said. My next goal is to be 800 pounds by the end of the year, and my current rate of growth, I should be 800 pounds by age 41 or 42. I think there's some kind of weird self-destructive thing happening here, and she's really getting a kick out of it, and she's digging the attention, and she's digging how grotesque. I mean, I hate to say this, but I wonder if there's sex abuse in this. I don't doubt there's probably been rape. And
what?
I'm serious. I'm serious.
Why do you say that?
I think this is a woman who's attempting to... She's glorying in the in what she's doing. Okay, she's wrapping herself in fat. And I'm just theorizing. I'm not saying I'm right, but I'm theorizing that this is a woman who had some kind of rape or sex abuse of some kind so serious that she's now glorying and glorifying in how ugly and repulsive she can be.
I don't see that.
You don't, huh? Well, what's your explanation?
She likes to eat.
Yeah.
All right. Well, she likes to eat.
God, figure it out, man.
Yeah, figure it out, man. She likes to... What's your explanation? She likes to eat.
Yeah, give me 5. Yeah.
All right. Eamon says she visits the supermarket once a month with her sons Gabriel and Brendan, and she spends up to 8 hours filling 6 trolleys. 8 hours? Is this is... These are 2 boys that now are living with a mother that's mentally ill. 8 hours in the supermarket with her sons, filling up 6 shopping carts. It's like a full day's work, says Suzanne, who uses a motorized scooter but believes she can stay healthy. Why shouldn't I push the limits and see how fat I can get and stay healthy? Suzanne's bizarre mission began after she couldn't stop gaining weight naturally. 2 years ago, I hit 490 pounds because I was losing my battle against weight gain. I noticed I actually started attracting more men, and it made me feel good. The unemployed mother who cannot work because of her weight. Jeez, I wonder why, man.
Well, no kind of a job she could get.
Well, I'm trying to think now. What could you, would you work as a cashier?
Yeah, you could sit behind a cash register, but they have to make the area pretty big. It would cut down on the number of people that would come through and buy food.
Good point, you know. Wow.
What do you say that again?
They could cut down.
Never mind. Okay, I get it. They got to cut down on the area of the people. I heard you. The unemployed mother who cannot work because of her weight claims she stays active by doing simple exercises and having regular health checks. Here's the comedy. She says, quote, I go for a waddle and do stretches and exercises every day. My muscles need to hold up to my weight, so I have to stay strong. Freaking weird. I take my blood pressure once a week, and every day after I exercise, I take readings of my other vitals. I use a pulse oximeter to measure the concentration of oxygen in my bloodstream. And I take my blood sugar levels just like a diabetic. If either of the readings go above a certain level, I'll immediately contact my doctor for advice, and he'll say, lose weight, you tub of guts. Do it! Do it! And I'll say, how dare you, hang up on him, and get another doctor. If I was to get sick, I've arranged for my sister to take care of my kids. And you know, that sister's already on a hook for taking care of, like, if you're going to get sick, your kids are already so, they don't know whether they're coming or going. They're spending 8 hours a freaking, how many times? Once a month. Oh, okay. 6 hours. She's 8 hours in the supermarket filling up all of these shopping carts. Anyway, she says her sister's going to take care of the kids if she happens to get sick, which I don't see it not happening, but I'm not a doctor, so I don't know. And when people are this bold, you know, pretty soon you start believing them.
Yeah, I know. It's like I almost believe that she can do it.
Well, I don't. I'm not going to allow myself to think that way. I think she's going to die from an exploding heart.
That's bad, man. Why'd you say that?
Because I'm not going to get conned by this. This is what happens. Do you understand? People do this stuff, and they talk about how groovy it is, and suddenly the public goes, oh, wow, well, maybe it isn't that bad. And, you know, they start getting sucked in, not me. Despite warnings from her doctor that her experiment could kill her, Emma insists she wants to break the record. Well, if the doctor said that this could kill you, why are you taking all of these readings and all of these blood pressure readings and then calling the doctor and saying, gee, I feel sick, doc. Well, I told you that it could kill you. Well, yeah, so what? I still feel sick. What do you think I should do? Don't eat as much food. How dare you? I want to prove that, I'm through, man. Get another doctor. I don't understand. The freaking doctor doesn't know what's happening.
Tell the doctor, say, why don't you quit feeding your fat face?
Yeah, that's what you would say, bud. That's why you wouldn't be a very good doctor. All right. Although, in that case, it's probably what she needs.
Yeah, I was going to say, man, that's what I'd say to her. She needs some honesty like that.
Despite warnings from her doctor that the experiment could kill her, she insists she wants to break the record. Dr. Patrick Flight said she's really playing Russian roulette with her life with this goal. There are well-documented complications that come with morbid obesity. I would never encourage anyone to be doing what Suzanne is doing. Dr. Flight said Emmons' medical checks showed no current problems, adding she's capable of making her own decisions. I don't see any psychiatric problems or anything else. How do you know you don't see any psychiatric problems? You know, by the way, that reminds me of that guy, that hairy crop clown. You remember that guy? I shouldn't say clown, but I can't believe this guy says he studied Casey Anthony. Completely normal, man. Completely normal, this woman, right? And then they said, well, can you go back and check for antisocial disorder or lack of ability to feel empathy? Oh, okay. He goes back and he goes, I rechecked, you know, and it's possible. Well, how good can that guy be?
Yeah, but he took the test. You're talking about Dr. Drew.
Okay, so I'm talking about Dr. Drew. Dr. Drew came to him and he said, hey, did you check? Did you even think of the possibility that she's a sociopath? Well, doctor, well, could you go back and double check? He says, okay. He goes back and he checks and he comes back and says, you know, you could have something there. How good can that guy be when I got that figured out?
You don't have it figured out, man. You just got an opinion.
Okay, well, my opinion's worth more than that guy, and he's employed by the state of Florida.
Yeah, but would you go on a stand and tell everybody about it?
They wanted me to.
Oh, man, that's bull crap.
Come on, man. All right, let's take a break here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. 877-876-PHIL before I start swinging on somebody. I'm kidding. You guys are entitled to your opinions, such as they are. Coming up, Anderson Cooper embarrasses himself with a giggle fit. Big deal. NASA wants us where... We got a lot of other things going on in this world, man, besides Anderson Cooper basically, you know, verifying that he's gay. NASA wants us worrying about aliens, and Janine Garofalo again attacks black Republicans, saying that you black people, you don't know what's good for you. The whites are here to save you, especially the liberal whites, and Janine will tell you how. Coming up in a world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Radio for patriots by patriots. It's the Phil Henry Show. For patriots, by patriots. It's the Phil Henry Show.
All right. Well, times are tough. The economy is not doing well, and the solutions that have been thrown at it are the wrong solutions. And the other solutions that are being suggested are being debated. And one of the solutions is that there needs to be more cash pumped into the system. There needs to be another stimulus that automatically puts off every single solitary conservative and Tea Partier there is. There is the notion, and that, of course, would include this so-called jobs creation. Now, we've had one that hasn't worked, and so people say, see, that didn't work. But you have to be more of an economist than just someone who reads the paper and says, see, that didn't work. You have to see how much money was actually infused into the system and how it was used. However, that having said all of that, I understand why people would be reluctant to say, wow, let's do another stimulus. Okay. The alternative, which is this series of massive tax cuts and the rolling back of lots and lots and lots of pieces of legislation that are going to ultimately cost the federal government money, is also an idea. The problem that people are having is the following. We don't want it to hurt. We don't want recessions to hurt. We don't want economic downturns to hurt. We don't want to have to go through bad stuff. And we get really impatient, and we get really accusatory, and we get childish and snivelly in this country when things go bad. We do. We act like children, and so the government responds, and we better do something really fast. Jobs, we need a stimulus. Let's cut taxes. Let's give money to the business. I mean, everybody's in a panic. Nobody knows what to do. There's a bunch of people that want to do the right thing. There's a bunch of people that just want to do anything because there's a whole bunch of crybabies out there. Now, I understand that, you know, that's why I would never run for public office, because I would never, ever run for public office ever, because I've got this bad habit of telling people what I think of them. And when you're running for public office, you can't do that. You can't tell the American people you're acting like a bunch of children. You can't tell the American people that you're... There's a guy, I want to nominate this guy for president of the United States, this mayor of Philadelphia, Michael Nutter. Now, Janine Garofalo is somewhere in our news tonight, sounding every bit the stereotypical right off the assembly line, liberal white, talking about how black people don't know what's good for them. Black folks are, you know, you're off, man. You're getting conned by these whiteys. Listen to me. I mean, I've never heard anything so brazen in my life, so embarrassing. And not since I heard Oberfuhrer say that Michael Steele was a self-hating black man. I mean, where do you get off?
Yeah, he's a Jew.
You're a Jew? Don't say he's a Jew.
Sorry.
anyway... So, what was I going to say? Oh, yeah, the whole thing with the American people, you know, crying that things are bad and all of this. And Michael Nutter is the mayor of Philadelphia. This guy, I like him. He made a statement when these flash mobs were occurring, flash mobs of young teenagers, African-American teenagers, who were accosting people on the street and essentially mugging them. who were going into stores and essentially shoplifting in plain view of the world. These flash mobs that have been called for via text, via Twitter, and other ways of social media connection. And the mayor of Philadelphia said that you are not a good example of your race. Now, he's black, and a ton of black politicians and spokespeople and celebrities just thought that was the worst thing in the world. It was a terrible thing. That's code. You are a racist, this, that, this, that. He is my hero today because I heard him say, you know what? I said it. I stand by it. Move on. I'm not changing my opinion. Now, here's the thing that he's a Democrat, by the way. He's to some ways of looking at things, a liberal Democrat. But he said the following. He said, look, these are not young people that are an example of a generation that is being just shut out of something to do during a very hot summer in Philadelphia. We have libraries that are open. We have a skating rink. He said that I, as the mayor, will be taking part this weekend in skating with the young people of Philadelphia. We have ball fields. We have swimming pools. These are things paid for by the taxpayers of the city that are open all the time to the kids of this city. He said, I'm not going to excuse this behavior, and I'm not apologizing for what I said. It was very eloquent as he was talking about it. And he said, I'm a proud African-American myself. I don't need to have anybody remind me of what it is to be black. And when they brought up our good friend there, the doctor from Columbia, Jace, Dr. Mark Lamont Hill. Dr. Mark Lamont Hill said this, this, this. He says, yes, I know, I read the article, and you're taking that out of context, because if you read the entire article, you would know that Dr. Hill was supporting a great deal of what I said. He said, so I said it. I'm not going to apologize for it. He said the following thing. He said, I am a proud black man in this country. It was a message that needed to be said. It needed to be said at this time. People have had enough of this nonsense, black and white. Now, I listened to this man talk, and the reason why I'm singling him out is it's just plain speaking. It is plain speaking from a politician that doesn't care if he's pissing off people, if he's offending his constituents. It's the worst crime you can commit as a politician, telling the truth. The worst crime you can commit. The worst. Now, I know there's a lot of people out there right now, they're nodding their, yeah, that's right, Phil, you're right. No, they don't know what I'm talking about, because most people think that they want honesty from their politicians, but when they get it, they don't like it. Let me just say, the American people these days, I love my country and I love my countrymen and I love my fellow brothers and sisters and all that, but we are the most sniveling bunch of whining. And you know what? Life ain't easy for me right now. I'm an entrepreneur. I'm starting a business. I'm struggling through this recession the same way you are. I've been unemployed. There's nothing that anybody out there's got to tell me that I haven't been through in one way or another. I have been down on my luck. I've been busted ass broke. I haven't known where my next meal is going to come from. I've been through it all. So don't give me this horse dung about how people are suffering, man, because I know all about it. And I'm telling you, we are a whiny bunch. We gotta butch it up here.
You ought to run for president, Mr. Henry.
Not a chance. Not a chance.
I thought I had a good speech, though.
Not a speech. I was actually talking about Mayor Nutter. He was the guy that I wanted to talk about. Anyway, that's what I think his message was. World famous Phil Henry Show coming back. A newspaper ad asks hookers and or men who slept with Richard Perry to come forward. Bud, you know anybody?
Maybe.
Radio for Patriots by Patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
Radio for Patriots by Patriots. Are you ready? Here it is. Thanks. 877-876 Phil, world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah, there's the loaf.
What do you mean, there's the loaf?
Right there, man. It's a meatloaf.
Oh, and it is meatloaf. Meatloaf. By the way, Piers Morgan, apparently he had Christine O'Donnell, is that her name? She walked off of his show. She's a Tea Party candidate from some state, and he wanted to talk about gay marriage, and she didn't. She walked off his show, and they are really getting some mileage out of that. I think Piers is very proud of that. They probably did a press release. I don't know how popular his show is. Do either one of you guys?
I'm not really sure.
Jason, can you find for me the numbers on the Piers Morgan show? And the reason why I say is I suspect that he's more popular than people are giving him credit for. There are a lot of people in the media, there's a lot of people in celebrityhood that don't like this guy for whatever reason. Maybe it's because he's English, maybe it's because he's from American Idol and doesn't deserve to inherit the Larry King mantle. I don't know what it is, but a lot of people don't like him. And it may be also because seems a little fey.
Wow, man.
You know, but anyway, I'm going to find out whether this Christine O'Donnell walk-off did anything for his numbers, but I also would like to find out just exactly how popular this guy is, because there's a lot of people truly don't like him. I don't have a problem with him. I don't think he's, unless he's got somebody on really interesting, I won't watch the show. Let me put it that way. And that's not good. If you're going to do any kind of research on a show, and you find out that the people who watch the show really enjoy the guests, but the host himself or herself comes back not all that, you know, people are not all that strong about the host, that's not a good sign. And that's generally you need to bail. At least that's what, I found out about a certain talk show host that I won't mention his name.
Who was it?
I'm not going to mention any names. All right, here is a story that I was mentioning during the news break, and perhaps you've heard of it, perhaps you haven't. It's an extremely powerful story. It's very emotional, and it's been going on for a long time. And I watched a documentary on this, The Case of the West Memphis Three. The Case of the West Memphis Three. Have you heard of this? An agreement has been reached to release two of the West Memphis Three. Three men convicted in 1993 for the killings of 3 8-year-old Cub Scouts in West Memphis. This is according to CBS News affiliate WREG in Memphis. The three men were reportedly scheduled to be in court this Friday. A cry for innocence. What is this, a cry for innocence? Johnny Depp and the full story of the West Memphis Three. Is that a book or is that a movie? Sources, including a father of one of the victims, have confirmed the news. Steve Branch, who's the father of victim Stevie Branch, told WREG that Damian Eccles will be one of the men released. There's supposed to be a gag order on this, but they're not going to gag me. They can put me in jail if they want to. I'll go to jail to stand up for my son's rights. Just so you know, this man, Steve Branch, if there is an innocent man in jail today for these murders, this man, Steve Branch, the father of one of the victims, so I understand this entirely. I get it. I get that the man lost his son. But if justice hasn't been served, this man, Steve Branch, has gone to the wall to make sure that it stays unserved. He hasn't shut up. He's been on television and on film going into some kind of a wild holy man spasm act. I don't know how to call it, what it is, but his eyes roll back in his head and he goes into this big dramatic pitch. And if there is a sober thought to be had, if there is a sober discussion to be had as to whether or not these men are guilty, don't have it around this guy, Steve Branch, because he don't want to hear it. He's a big mouth, an exhibitionist, a camera hog. He knows what he is. And because his son was one of the victims, and I will forever feel bad for that, he milks it for all it's worth. In fact, this guy is so upset that his son's dead, he doesn't care who burns down for it. Even an innocent man, that's okay with him. The three convicted men will admit guilt to the crime, but two will be released with time served, sources say. Craighead County Circuit Judge David Laser's office on Thursday said Damian Eccles, Jesse Miskelly, and Jason Baldwin will be in court Friday for a surprise hearing. A gag order issued by Laser in April prohibits attorneys from talking to reporters. All three men were convicted in 1994 of killing Stevie Branch, Christopher Byers, and Michael Moore, and leaving their bodies in a water-filled ditch in West Memphis. Prosecutors say the three men killed the boys as part of a satanic ritual. Eccles was sentenced to death, while Miss Kelly and Baldwin received life sentences, according to KTHV Television in Memphis. Each of the men have asked for a new trial on the grounds that DNA evidence exonerates them. To date, none of the DNA gathered in the case has matched any of the defendants. That is in addition to the potential jury misconduct that prompted the Arkansas Supreme Court to order a new evidentiary hearing for December to decide if the three men will get new trials. Until now, Attorney General Dustin McDaniel's office has stood by the conviction and fought against new proceedings. Because of the gag order, the Attorney General's office cannot comment on this latest development. So tomorrow they're going to be in court. According to this man, Steve Branch, two of them are going to get out of the three. So who do you think the third one is that ain't going to get out?
Probably the Damien Eccles guy. That's the guy they said was the ringleader and everything.
Yeah.
These kids have said that they want a new trial because they have asked for a new trial on the grounds the DNA evidence exonerates them, that they have nothing to do with this crime because the lack of DNA evidence exonerates them. Now that, as we all know, from the Casey Anthony trial and others, that doesn't necessarily make you innocent. Well, of course, Casey Anthony is innocent, so maybe they are too, you know?
Yeah, I don't understand about Casey Anthony and everything. Seen her walk away and everything like that. I seen another guy get burned to the ground.
Yeah, how come they burn a guy down, you know, on the same thing with Casey Anthony?
Don't belch in my face, okay?
So I had a ham sandwich.
Yeah, I know you had a ham sandwich. Belching all over the place.
Dad, can I have some of that?
No.
Dad, that pickle?
Okay.
Yeah, good. You guys done? You're right. You're right. You're absolutely right. Casey Anthony walks because the jury sits there and says, wow, there wasn't any evidence, so I don't know, okay? Even though circumstantially, this woman is everywhere that her kid is, and she's everywhere that her kid ain't, and she's just everywhere, you know, where anything bad happened, there she is. What happened to the kid? And all the bullcrap that would test the patience of even the most dim-witted. All this bullcrap about I spent a month looking for her. Anybody that believes that, anybody that actually believes that, and I don't think there really is anybody that believes that. I think there are people who are saying this. Well, I think she believes that, and that's good enough for me. But anyone that honestly believes that this chick spent the month looking for her missing kid and she didn't want to get anybody involved and there, you know. All right, so she walks, even though we have all of that circumstantial evidence against her, but there's no DNA. Now we have the West Memphis 3. There's no DNA at all. So if these guys would have had that Florida jury, man, they wouldn't have spent the, whatever it's been now, 16, 17 years inside. Now, they've been talking about these three men being innocent for a long time. Tomorrow at 11 o'clock, I think, is the hearing, 11 a.m., maybe it's Memphis time, we'll find out which of these three guys, or which two of the three will be released with time served. The three men will admit guilt to the crime. Two will be released with time served. This is a deal that they cut, folks. Understand. And it's really easy for us to sit here and say the following thing. Well, I would never do that. I would want my name cleared. Yeah, sure. Yeah, that's great. You know, if you're in a jail cell and that's where you've been for 17 years and your life is slipping away from you and your friends have gotten older and they've moved away and you don't know anybody on the outside, man, not at all. And you're no longer a teenager. You're now in your 30s. You're pushing 40, in fact. And a guy says to you, tell you what, so I don't look like an ass because I'm the DA in this case. You guys plead guilty to this, and I'll let you out with time served. What do you say?
I guess I'd probably say yeah.
You'd say yeah, even if you didn't commit the crime.
I wouldn't.
You'd stay in jail.
I'd say I'm innocent because, you know, why not prove it?
Well, that's probably a good point.
Are you out of your mind or something? How are they going
to
prove it?
Because if I say to the guy, you know what? I'm not going to be released. I'm going to say I'm innocent. I'm going to stay in jail till I'm proved you know, innocent and all that. And then people will say, well, he got to be innocent. Why would he stay in jail?
Well, if you can do that, Robert, you're a better man than me, you know.
Well, I already knew that.
Yeah, but I'm not going to stay in jail just so what? So you can get a medal?
No, what he's saying is, if I stay in jail, if I say to these people, no way, I'm not going for your deal.
You stay in jail.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is this. I'm not going for your deal. You want me, I can go out. You're saying I can walk, but I got to say that I committed this crime. And then I'm a free man.
Yeah.
I say, no, I'm not going to take that deal because I am innocent. Now, if a guy says that, I'm looking at that. I see a guy saying, I'm not taking that deal. I'm staying. I am an innocent man. I think he's one of two. He's either crazy or he really is innocent. You know,
that's what I would do.
But I got to tell you, man, you know, a public opinion has a funny way of turning with the wind. And people might just think, well, he's just batty. He's just batty. I don't think people don't see the truth all that clearly sometimes, man. I just don't see it. All right, we'll be right back here on the Phil Hendry Show, the world famous Phil Hendry Show, the ever loving and all of that Phil Hendry Show. 877-876-PHIL. A Cry for Innocence is a Johnny Depp movie. What does that mean, man? Would you please tell me, what is Johnny Depp and A Cry for Innocence? Okay, well, that wasn't in the news copy. All right, we'll be back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL. Let's find out about all those hookers that may have slept with Rick Perry. That's what some scumbag out there is trying to find out. Carlos Santana says the Grammys are racist. Naturally, we'll be right back.
Radio for Patriots by Patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show. For Patriots, by Patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
World famous Phil Hendry Show. Every night here until 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. The news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch. We were listening to what is that?
Bo Diddley.
Bo Diddley. And now, no, that's not the one. This is. There is no evidence that Texas Governor Rick Perry, an unabashed Christian, has ever cheated on his wife, Anita Thigpen, but a supporter of one of Texas Governor Rick Perry's Republican rivals is trying to catch the GOP presidential candidate in a honey trap. Nevertheless, Robert Morrow, who backs Texas Congressman Ron Paul, has taken out a full-page ad in an Austin alternative newspaper seeking women who had sex with Rick Perry. Are you a stripper, an escort, or just a young hottie impressed by an arrogant, entitled governor of Texas, reads the ad? Then it urges respondents to contact CASH, which stands for Committee Against Sexual Hypocrisy. We will help you publicize your direct dealings with a Christian buzzword spouting family values, hypocrite, and fraud. The ad, which appears this week in the Austin Chronicle, also intimates that Perry might be gay. Note to gay people, if you know the truth about Rick, please quit covering for him, it states. Please, yes, gay people, because ordinarily I, Robert Morrow, wouldn't have anything to do with you. But if you can help me... Hey, Robert, here's an idea, man. Why not some of the pictures you have of yourself with the governor? Maybe that...
Yeah, you probably got a drawer full of them.
Guy's got a drawer full of them. There is no evidence nor rumors that Perry, who does indeed trumpet so-called family values, has ever cheated on his wife, Thigpen. The telegenic Texan said Thigpen, who met his kids... The telegenic Texan and Thigpen, who met his kids at a piano recital, married in 1982. They have two children, nor is there any evidence that Perry, an avowed opponent of gay marriage, is homosexual. This is political garbage, said Mark Miner, a spokesman for the Perry campaign. It's false and coming from someone with a sick mind and too much time on their hands. Morrow is a three-time delegate to the Texas State GOP convention. You know, I talked to a Texas GOP delegate. I forget who it was. No, this guy was a Texas Democratic. That was a Texas Democratic Party delegate. And he wasn't very bright either. So I'm going to have to, I've got to conclude that delegates in general to the Texas political party conventions just ain't too bright.
Which guy was that?
Some guy we were talking to. You remember that guy? He was an idiot. he was talking about, we were talking about the Nuremberg trials, and he said, well, no, that was a civilian trial. No, it wasn't a military tribunal. No, it was a civilian trial. Anyway, Morrow is a three-time delegate to the Texas State GOP convention and self-employed investor and political activist. He admitted in an interview with Salon.com that he was the man behind Cash. He claimed to know strippers who can tell tales about Perry but are too afraid right now to speak. I think it's only a matter of time until somebody credible comes forward, he said. There was no immediate response from the Paul campaign about the ad. Morrow has pulled this kind of stunt before, and the last time his target was a Democrat, Hillary Clinton, who's also dissed in the anti-Perry ad. During the 2008 presidential campaign, Morrow launched an anti-Clinton robocall in South Carolina saying she knew about and helped cover up an alleged rape by her husband, Bill Clinton, the Washington Post reported. There is no evidence to back that charge up. Well, Robert Morrow, good job. You got Barack Obama elected. Yeah, baby. Yeah.
What an idiot.
What an idiot. Doesn't even begin to tell a story. I mean, if that's what your political leaning is, man. If it wasn't for you and all of the horse dung that you're throwing around there, you would have gotten Hillary Clinton as president of the United States. I don't know. Maybe she was. She's probably just as bad, huh?
Hillary Clinton, man, she's got to be bad. I don't think anybody's going to think any Democrat. If you're Republican, then the one Democrat you're going to vote for that is any good.
No, there wasn't any. I think Hillary Clinton was the most acceptable. You know what I mean?
Why do you say that?
Because I just think she was, man. I think she was the most mainstream of the Democratic candidates, the most known. The people were familiar with her. People knew her as a very much a public person. And, you know, so I think that she would have been the most acceptable. I mean, they still would have taken their shots. They still would have taken their shots. But she's a known quantity. And I think one of the things that has frightened the hell out of people on the right about Barack Obama is he simply is somebody they don't know. And as much as they like to say that race isn't involved, of course it's involved. Don't look at me. You know, what's the old saying? I might have been born at night, but it wasn't last night.
Yeah.
You know, don't stare me in the face and tell me that race isn't involved in the criticisms of Barack Obama. I'm not an idiot. Now, people may, if they want to say that Phil Hendry's imagining things, you know, they can say anything they want to say. And I'm not, you know, this isn't Keith Olbermann talking here. I'm not some jive-ass, you know, bump-on-the-head weird-ass like Keith Olbermann, man. I pretty much got my feet on the ground. I'm not looking for weirdness and conspiracies all over the place. I just, you know, I'm very familiar with this country, its history, and people. So when white people say that the racial attacks on Barack Obama are somehow a fantasy or figment of people's imagination, will you give me a break? I'm not saying it's every single attack. I'm not saying that it's a prevalent to the point of overwhelmingly the majority of the attacks are motivated racially. I'm not saying that. But I'll tell you right now that they're there and they're strong and they exist and it's not anybody's imagination. So don't give me this bull crap. Now, why did I bring that up? I brought it up because that guy was so, first of all, not so much that he was an unknown quantity. He's a black president. Okay. You know, made people feel really good. I got to tell you. And if Christine Ferraro had had her brain in her head as opposed to it out and playing with it on a sidewalk someplace, she would have said the following thing. People are voting for him because he's black. Why? That's racist of you. Oh, my God. Wait a minute. You know it's true. She got defensive. She should have said this. People are voting for him because it's black, because deep down, Americans want to put away the racist reality of this country. We want to prove we can have a black president. Yes, people are voting for him because of his race in a positive way. Now, she didn't want to say that because she didn't really know that that's what she was trying to say. Why? Because she wasn't thinking too clearly. Why? Because,
it was getting late.
Because it was late.
And she'd had too much to drink.
The world-famous Phil Hendry Show, where we never have too much to drink, we always need more, ha, 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 is produced by Jason Rantz, Technical Director Dan Northcraft, and Chris Johnson, Fred Scotty, our associate producers, philhendryshow.com, where you can get involved in our look-alike contest. Good luck. All entries must be in by midnight tomorrow night. our podcasts, our HDTV, our merchandise, our blogs. It's all there for you. It's the world of Phil Hendry, and thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of hours of archives are there. And we'll see you tonight. Love you. Can't live without you.
Phil Hendry.